Happy Groundhog Day, everybody. Is there a liturgical color for this day? Cindy, would it be brown or tan? Look at little Punxsutawney Phil. Did you know that a groundhog is the same thing as a woodchuck? You did? I didn't know that. Anyway, learn something every day. The Washington Post said this morning that he did not see his shadow at 4:35 our time this morning, and that we will have an early spring to look forward to in the coming weeks. Well, that is if you believe the groundhog, because poor Phil is wrong more times than he's right. But we still drag that poor little creature out every year, and we hold him up for all to see, because it's tradition, right? And although today we don't have a collect or a liturgical color celebrating that adorable little weather-predicting marmot, our religious traditions are somehow related to this bizarre ceremony. Or rather, that tradition is related to ours. Today, in church, we commemorate... We're going to do it. It's going to happen. There it is. It's the cover of our bulletin today. We commemorate Mary and Joseph's adherence to Mosaic law as they, by tradition, brought their firstborn to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. Today is actually a principal feast day, and it's called the Feast of the Presentation, based on our gospel today. It always falls on February the 2nd, following the ancient Jewish tradition that 40 days after a child is born, they must come to the temple. So this is 40 days after Jesus was born on Christmas. Now, we don't always celebrate this feast in the Episcopal Church, but we definitely do when it falls on a Sunday, which happens about every 5 or 6 years. But it's an interesting day because, just like Russian nesting dolls, it's a tradition inside of a tradition inside of a tradition inside of a tradition. And one of those traditions associated with this, the Feast of the Presentation, that can be traced back to the medieval church is called Candlemas. Now, its theme continues to be that of purification, renewal, and hope. And in churches around the world, even Anglican ones, candles are being handed out, or people bring their own candles to be blessed. And after an antiphon, during which the candles are held by the people, they're lighted, and then there's a big procession into the church. And during the procession, the Nunc Dimittis is sung. That's what we sang today instead of a psalm, replicating the words of Simeon that he proclaimed when he saw Jesus at the temple. And as you can imagine, many traditions have developed around the Candlemas tradition, based on the tradition of the tradition. And these are some that are following. So long ago, Candlemas was the day when some cultures predicted weather patterns using other animals besides groundhogs or woodchucks or whatever you want to call this guy. And this tradition is based on an old pagan tradition marking the halfway point between of winter, right? There's an old English song that goes, "If Candlemas be fair and bright, come winter, have another flight. If Candlemas bring clouds and rain, go winter and come not again." That's the only way you can make it right. Bless you. So it's easy then, right, to cipher that this is the tradition that gave rise to Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous groundhog. Other cultures have different traditions around Candlemas. There's crepe tossing in France. That's what the little groundhog is doing. He's tossing a crepe. You're supposed to, the tradition is if you toss a crepe perfectly and it lands back in your pan, you're going to either have good weather or good luck. I don't know. Something like that. But in Mexico, they celebrate with, I don't know if the battery is with tamales. I like that. I would like to celebrate with tamales today. Or in Peru, they do this huge festival with costumes and dancing, Candelaria Festival. It's a really big deal. But Candlemas isn't such a big deal for us here in the Episcopal Church, although there are some churches that do. Have anybody participated in a Candlemas ceremony? Anybody? Well, yeah, in England they do, right? I mean, some people do. Yes. Well, there are churches. I'm still on all of the newsletters of all my old churches. It's good to be. And there are a lot of them back east are doing Candlemas celebrations. But we don't do it so much here. And you know what? But maybe we should. Because really, it's this joyful celebration of light. It celebrates Mary. It's very hopeful. And it's the idea of, that Christ is the light in the world. You know, and whether it's this tradition or some of the traditions that we do celebrate here, it gives us a whole lot to celebrate. So this week I was at our diocesan office in Salinas, and I had the opportunity to talk to Brian Nordwick, who is our dear canon to the ordinary and a friend of mine for many years. And he shared with me the events of last week where his family gathered together to commemorate the life of his mother who recently died. And he recounted how all of his siblings and his large family gathered for the funeral, and they told stories about the matriarch of the family, who was really the glue of this huge group of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And he talked about how the family all gathered in one house, and they stayed up all night, which was a tradition for them when they all got together, and they ate In-N-Out burgers, and they laughed, and they sang, and they cried together. And the warm traditions of family unity came through even in the saddest of circumstances, lending a kind of festival atmosphere, even in the middle of their grief. So this example stands in stark contrast to a family that we know that just lost their matriarch. The other family siblings were not close, and they often argued when they were all together, and there was no faith tradition for the family. So as the mother lay dying, their siblings were just confused and scattered and disoriented and stressed. They had no tradition to keep them together. They had no common celebration, no well from which to go to for strength. And I tell you these contrasting stories because tradition is so important for us as humans and siblings and mothers and fathers and Christians and friends. Since Candlemas is not part of our culture's tradition, I find it important to highlight the traditions of our faith and the traditions that they come from, because it can be a common source of understanding, learning, community, and joy. There's a holiness, a real holiness ascribed to certain times and customs in our Christian year. The ritual of Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus at the temple certainly reflects an ancient worldview, but it's really not that far off from those of modern Jewish culture. And they celebrate the birth of a child with a ceremony that's marked with prayers and songs. And they recite the words, "As she has been welcomed into the covenant, so may she grow in life of Torah and good deeds." And then Elijah, the famous prophet, is welcomed to the celebration, and linking each birth to the same renewal of hope in the coming messianic age. At its heart, that's the same deep connection that they shared 2,000 years ago. And it's the same connection, really, as our Episcopal traditions, our Christian traditions. They do the same thing through baptism and confirmation, and even through every time, every Sunday, when we pass the peace with one another, because we're welcoming new people and we're welcoming again each other into our community. We have this same great joy of Mary and Joseph, who love their child just like we love our children and we love our community. And they presented Jesus, showing their confidence in God's promise, as we present ourselves with the same confidence. As we gather as a family together on Sundays, which are all feast days, by the way, We celebrate and dedicate and participate in a tradition that binds us all in joy and solidarity, no matter where we've come from or where we're going. And we have family all over the world who celebrate tradition and worship a Savior that brings light to this world. So today, on this feast of the presentation, on this Candlemas, may we have the same great joy of Simeon and Anna, who saw promises fulfilled. That's what our tradition gives us, a place and an outlet to have common joy in the shared life of Christ, to hold history and each other and our futures. Each tradition we take part in, we make holy. We make it holy as our voices narrate our common story, and we lend those voices to those before us, like Simeon, Anna, Mary, and Joseph, and even Christ himself. And we inform those after us, and we invite them into this richness. Our Christian tradition is rooted in love and light, and we're all welcome at this celebration. Amen.